Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, I'm Tom Lyons. I'm here with Sam Zordich, my co-host, and Jorgie Jorgensen, our producer. And today's guest is Mike Ryan, who is the director of the Small Business Development Center at the University of St. Thomas. Thanks for being with us today, Mike.
Thank you, Tom. Good morning.
Can you tell me a little bit about what is the Small Business Development Center at the Opus College of Business at the University of St. Thomas?
Sure. The Small Business Development Center is part of a national program that is provided to give small business owners some advantages to help grow their business. The Small Business Development Center is part of a national network. For instance, we have 9 centers in the state of Minnesota, and the Small Business Development Center at the University of St. Thomas is the center for the Twin Cities area. There is no other such facility in the Twin Cities, and it's been hosted at the University of St. Thomas since 1981.
Hmm.
And what we do, we provide small business consulting to business owners in marketing, finance and accounting, strategic planning, and the like, and we charge nothing. There is no charge for this service.
Nice resource.
It's a pretty good program.
You have to explain that to me. How does that work?
Well, what we do is we're funded by a couple of different partners. Number one, the University of St. Thomas has been a very generous funder of this program for a number of years. We're also funded by a grant from the Small Business Administration in Washington and also the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development.
Okay.
Wow, that makes it easy for small business. Now, which small businesses might be eligible to receive the benefits of your program?
Well, there are a few eligibility requirements. First of all, you need to be a for-profit business. We're not allowed to serve nonprofits. We have plenty of no-profits, but that's a whole different matter. We serve for-profit businesses. They have to fit the Small Business Administration definition of small, and that's pretty much almost every business you think of. In most cases, that means businesses with fewer than 500 employees. So 99% of the businesses in Minnesota would be eligible.
Okay. I know you're not going to throw out stats, but I will. There's 27.2 million businesses under 100 employees.
Well, that's our kind of
small
business.
Small business.
Just in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Where did you pick that stat up, Sam?
I needed it for the business plan.
I see. Okay. But if you can go up to 500 employees, that's a pretty good-sized business.
Yeah, and that's very unusual for us. Most of our clients that we see range in the area of zero or just one employee up to probably 50. That's kind of the more common area for us.
Can you give us an example? Who would be a typical business that would come to you for some small business development help?
Sure. We would work, for instance, we have a number of clients, and we have about 500 small businesses a year that we work with. But a typical client might be $3 or $4 million in revenue, light manufacturing, assembly, something like that, looking for some help in researching their markets, new product opportunities, maybe some operational audits, just make sure they're running properly. And we'll work with these clients anywhere from some clients just a few hours, and then we won't see them again, or some clients we've worked with for 3 or 4 years.
Have you seen a shift in the kind of questions that you're getting or the kind of interest that you're receiving in the last year?
Yes, Sam. It's been actually quite a dramatic shift in the past 6 months or so with the credit crunch that has taken place over the last few months. Many more of the questions we're getting now are, how might we restructure our debt? You know, we're falling behind. We can't make our payments. So it's working with the small business and the client, the client and the bank to see if we can rearrange some terms on the loan. The climate has shifted these days more to survival than to growth.
So you deal with debt and equity financing issues then?
Primarily debt. Occasionally we'll have clients that are raising equity. there's always owner's equity. The owner of the business has equity, but most of our clients looking for capital will help them prepare their loan. Most of our clients, when they do get loans, are probably looking for an SBA guarantee on the loan, which in some cases is the only opportunity they'll have.
So let's say you've got a small manufacturing business, and the business owner comes up for his annual renewal on his line of credit, and due to the recent credit problems, he has a little trouble with his bank, and they say, no, we're not going to extend you more credit. We're not going to give you the money you need to continue growing your business. They can come down to you and say, can you help me with this? Can you help me? Do you help them find a new bank then? How does that work?
Well, they can certainly come down and ask for help. We're not always clear on how much we can do. But we will talk them through the options. What are the other alternative financing opportunities? Do they have some good receivables? Do they have other collateral that might be used to secure the loan? Do they have signed contracts? Do they have inventory? Other things, there's alternative financing on top of traditional lending that we may be able to help them with. Or maybe there's other lenders that are just more attuned to small business and make local credit decisions and have a stake in the community.
Yeah, I think a lot of small businesses don't realize this, that each bank is different and has different, you know, is bases their loans on different asset structures, so on. They have different cultures, different interests.
Well, you have to remember the owner of each of those banks has his own money at risk. It's called the bank capital, and if a loan goes bad, he loses his capital first before the depositors lose any money. So it's up to each of those bank owners to make those decisions, and that's just part of banking. Mike, do you actually engage in financial planning and analysis then when someone comes to you with these kind of issues?
Yes, we do. In fact, one of the first things we will ask a business client is to get a couple years of their financial history. It's really difficult to make any decision or any kind of analysis without really understanding the numbers. So we try to get that. That's really comes first. And we'll take a look at the numbers, do an assessment of the business, sit down for a couple hours, just look at their business model. Does it make sense? How big is their market? Who are their customers? Are they profitable? Often we'll find in some cases, when we look at profitability by customer, perhaps, we find that they're making all their money on just a few customers, the old 80-20. I will throw out a statistic. You're making 80% of your profit on 20% of your customers. So maybe there's an opportunity to not support a lot of non-money-making activities and reduce expenses.
You can bring a fresh look at the examination of the customers. Sometimes we find small businesses and you say, how come you're doing business with that little bitty customer? And the answer is, well, that was my first customer. I'm going to keep him no matter what. And you do an analysis and maybe he's not making any money on that customer anymore. And it's hard to walk away from any business. But sometimes as you grow, you just can't deal with those smaller customers anymore. And you need a fresh look. Somebody that'll say, what are your profit margins and can you afford to service that customer now?
Or the opposite, which is the larger customer that you have to keep running to keep up to be able to fulfill and serve their needs.
And they cut your margins.
Yeah, and then you end up paying them to buy your product.
Customer concentration issues are huge issues when it comes to enterprise value. And I assume you get into some of those discussions as well.
Yes, we do. We do find that many small businesses begin because they have one customer that they can steal away or they can get. And they tend not to spend enough time marketing for new customers. And they get half, three-quarters of their business tied up with one customer. You try to sell a business like that, as you know, Tom.
High risk.
That customer may just want that one owner. And as soon as the owner leaves, there's nothing left.
And in that case, you're not going to get a high fixed price. You're going to get a contingent price because it's going to be based on whether or not that customer stays with the buyer, as opposed to a good balanced organization where there's no customer concentration issues that's going to be lower risk. And then you can talk about a higher enterprise value and less of it being contingent. So it's a huge factor when we talk about business valuation issues. Do you help businesses determine how to break out of slumps? A lot of businesses, as they grow, they'll have fast growth and then they'll plateau and then they might have another spurt and then they plateau again. We find that pretty common instance. How about you?
Yes, we'll work with them on all aspects. We're organized in somewhat of a functional way. We have a number of people on our staff who are very financial and accounting and operations oriented. And then we have a really crack marketing group. And so when it comes to working with the customers to look at new products, new markets, advertising campaigns, ways to promote the product, we can sit down with them and really, as you say, bring a fresh look and give some new ideas to these business owners to break out of those slumps. We're seeing right now, we're seeing a slump. We're seeing a little, many of our businesses are down, you know, probably 15-20% in revenue year over year. And a lot of those, a whole bunch of our businesses are tied in some way to the construction market.
Lots
of small businesses in town are in HVAC, are in excavation, are in plumbing, in
lighting,
the contractors, in lighting. And
just
and,
trying to stay in business
and
until
all of those
it turns around.
People, you know, it can be seasonal. And so we have we're in winter, and we have the credit crunch, and we have a lot of these issues coming together. So we try to sit down and look at what is your core competency? What do you really do well? What do you bring to the party? And are there other applications for that?
You you say that you're dealing with almost 500 business customers per year. How do you staff that? How do you perform for all those different people that come to the university for help?
Well, at the University of St. Thomas, we operate a little differently than some other centers around the country. In that, myself, I'm actually an employee of the University of St. Thomas, but to provide services for those 500 customers or clients. We contract out. I have identified maybe a dozen or so local professional experts that run their own business, and then I'll contract with them on a part-time basis to come in and match them up with the clients that they are best suited for. We're also tapping into some of the very talented St. Thomas MBA students. We did a kind of a self-analysis of our center, and we looked around and we said, you know, there's a couple areas we could shore up, and one of those would be, how do we look at web strategies? How do we look at Web 2.0, as they say?
Mm-hmm. Here we go, Sam. New media is back in with us again.
It's new media, and we said, you know, we don't need to reinvent this or go find an expert. We're probably sitting on about 100 MBA students that know this in their sleep.
They grew up with it, and they understand it.
So we're now tapping into the daytime MBA program to pick out some really sharp students who just know this stuff intuitively. And it's really been successful so far. We're just we're starting our second year of doing that.
So when a business owner comes to you with a specific problem, then you look internally and externally and try to match them up with the expertise necessary to help them through that problem.
Yeah, that's correct.
And then you manage the whole process on their behalf.
Yeah, what the way the process usually works is myself, I will generally meet personally with every new prospective client and perform an assessment, a little financial analysis, and then in my own mind try to figure out who's the best fit, who's the best consultant, who's the best MBA student, who's the best team to help this person, and then we'll assign that client to that person. And then they manage their own client engagements themselves. And they come to me if there's some other issues, but pretty much we operate pretty independently.
So you help that business owner build the team of expertise he needs to solve whatever problems are on his plate at that time.
That's what we try to do. We do have to draw the line to some extent. We can advise, but we do have to draw the line. We're not allowed to really act as an employee or perform any tasks for the owner. There's employees for that. But we are there to advise them, to give a fresh look just based on our experience.
Help them think through the problems, put together a plan so that they can work through it.
Yeah, often my role or our consultant's role will often be like a board member. We're not technically a board member, but sometimes as a small business owner, they're quite isolated. They don't have a team of executives around them, and so to have just another person that the CEO can bounce ideas off is pretty valuable.
Now, there's a new program that you're working, which is called GATE.
Yes, Project GATE, G-A-T-E, Growing America Through Entrepreneurship, is a program that just kicked off here in January, and we're working with DEED, with the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, as well as the U.S. Department of Labor. And Project GATE is aimed at dislocated workers, meaning workers that have been laid off from companies and aged 50 and older.
Yeah, there's certainly been a lot of those in the last
there
six months.
There has been a surge of those, and the point of GATE is to look at these workers, look at these unemployed individuals who have expressed some interest in self-employment. Many have been working maybe with a company perhaps 20 years, 30 years, and with this past experience of being laid off, they have no interest in going back into corporate just to be laid off again. And there's a theme there that I hear. And so We work with them through the workforce centers in Minnesota. If they have expressed an interest in self-employment, then they'll come to the Small Business Development Center. We put on a orientation that takes place four times a month, and we walk them through what it actually takes to start a business. And if we try to open their eyes, we're not there to discourage them, but we do want them being realistic about what it takes to run your own business.
Sam, we were talking about this just yesterday, but the corporate executive is laid off and they've got a few bucks and they don't want to go back into corporate America. They think they want to start a business, and we get calls on this.
Or buy one.
We get calls on this weekly, and they really haven't had an opportunity to think it through to determine how much capital they need as a down payment on a business, or the money to start up a business, and how much capital they need to operate that business going forward.
And how long they can go without drawing a salary.
Absolutely. Do you help bring some reality to those thoughts and some clarity?
Well, we try to. We do talk through some of the myths of entrepreneurship that people have in their minds, such as, I want to be my own boss, which is always one of our favorites.
They usually don't understand that means they're the last one to get paid, if there's any money.
What is it that you say to them?
Well, being your own boss is nice. It's not a good enough reason to start your own business. And even if you do, you're not your own boss. Your customer's your boss.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Unless you're a very wealthy individual just collecting checks from the bank of some sort, you always have a boss. So let's get over that one. And as you say, you are the last in line. As the owner of the business, everything else gets paid before you do.
When you first start up, you're not only last in line to get a check, you're usually paying in to cover lack of revenue.
And no whining.
Yeah, and no whining. You're the boss.
The good news is, if you are at the end of the line and business is very good, you do quite well.
That's correct.
You have to be realistic going in on what it's going to take.
So what's another myth?
Another myth. You need a brilliant idea. You don't need a brilliant idea.
A better mousetrap, Sam.
How many people wait for that?
People hesitate. They think they need to be Bill Gates, and you don't. There's an interesting article in Inc. magazine, INC, which is very popular for small businesses and entrepreneurs. And they wrote an article about brilliant ideas. This was a few years ago, but it just caught my mind. And they look at the Inc. 500, which is sort of the honor roll, the 500 fastest growing small businesses of some sort. I'm not sure the measures. But they said, you know, from their analysis, they looked at it and they said, you know, only about 10% of these businesses are truly new ideas. Most of them are just old things that are done better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Offshoot is
something. For instance, Jiffy Lube is an example we threw out. That was, you know,
different way to get your way changed.
Different business model, but it works. So we also say don't wait. You know, don't wait for the perfect idea, because it's probably not going to come along.
Right.
But they do have to sit down and say, okay, you've got an idea. You've got a product or service. Who are you going to sell it to? How are you going to price it? What's your market out there? Are there enough people that are going to want this thing? And how are you going to reach them?
So
you help them through those issues as well?
Most of this orientation, it's 2 hours, really focuses on the feasibility of your idea. How big is your market? Is it getting bigger? Is it getting smaller? As you said, you know, who's going to buy it? Or as we say in business school, what's your value proposition? What do you do different or better or faster than the competition? Because the competition is just as smart as you are, and they're just as determined as you are.
And not only is it a good idea today, but is this something people are going to want 5 years from now or 10 years from now? They say that the good, profitable businesses reinvent themselves every 5 years. What I think that means is they tinker with it a little bit, and they change to accommodate changes in the marketplace. But a lot of business owners don't quite understand how to do that.
Now, and nowadays, it's every 2 and 3 years.
I know. Speed everything's getting
change.
Faster, Sam.
Yeah.
So your GATE program helps walk prospective entrepreneurs through all of these issues so they can go in with their eyes open.
That's the beginning of it. They start with this workshop, and we might have 15 or 20 people attend. At the end of that, we usually find a much smaller number that's interested in proceeding, which is expected and which is a good thing.
Sure.
And so we might get a quarter or a third of the people that attended to come back and say, you know, this sounds like a good idea, and I'm going to go ahead with it. But then they've made that decision, their eyes are open, and then from that point, we're working with a number of partners in the Twin Cities to help them with entrepreneurial education. For instance, at St. Thomas, Sam is teaching our Fast Track class.
Tell me about the Fast Track class. What's that all about?
Well, Sam, maybe you could put a few words in on that.
Oh, it's a 10-week course. course that it leads. The one that I teach is the growth venture, and so it's for companies that are already existing.
So these are existing business owners.
Mm-hmm.
Come in and work through a program with you to do what?
To grow their business to the next level. So they go through, it's essentially a very condensed MBA program. Covers all the same aspects of the MBA program, but one course, you know, as opposed to one semester.
So you cover the whole range of topics. Who are mm-hmm. my customers? How big is my market? How do I reach them? How do I price
What's
it?
What's my leadership? What's my, yeah, how do I develop new product? How do I innovate?
I'm getting tired
new
just
media.
Listening to this, Sam. It sounds like a lot of work, but what an opportunity for those business owners to talk to someone who's been there and done it
mm-hmm.
and to talk to each other about issues that are important to each other rather than just being out there all alone and trying to figure out the answers to these issues that affect all small businesses.
Yeah, it's that ability to talk and whine to each other.
Yes. We also have a Fast Track New Venture.
Right, which and is that's a, what you are.
Which is really tied in closely with GATE. And that is, it's a 10-week program, but designed to plan and develop your business. And so those are some opportunities for the GATE clients to go through that. But we have a number of partners in the Twin Cities that are offering one-on-one consultation, different training classes, very specific if people perhaps need QuickBooks training to keep track of their business. We can offer that. But the GATE program pays for that. There's no charge to the client.
Wow, what a wonderful resource.
Yeah.
Where were you when I was starting up some 100 years ago? I could have used some of that too. So you help put them through an orientation to determine whether or not they're suitable to be a business owner. And fortunately, the 2/3 that decide they aren't maybe are happier when they go back to an employee position because they know being that employer isn't all what it might have been cut out for. But then those people who want to take the next step, you can put them through your programs to help them establish a business and get up and running and put together a business plan and those type of things.
Yes, we can hook them up with the right resources. It is still their business. You know, they need to develop their plan, but we can provide the guidance.
Are there any other programs that you work with at the university that we haven't covered this morning?
No, not really.
Okay,
not really.
Cut that one out.
This has been a lot.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've mentioned before that I think the University of St. Thomas, I think of an institution of higher education, but I haven't in the past necessarily thought of it as such a great business resource, both for people thinking about starting businesses with the GATE program and then with your Small Business Development Center. What a great resource to have available for small businesses that have issues they want to resolve, and if they haven't found another way to do it,
and
come down and get your help.
And not from an ivory tower level. It's very practical.
It is very practical. St. Thomas has had a great commitment to entrepreneurship and small business for years, for many, many years. And the University of St. Thomas is also very mission-driven. And part of that mission talks about engaging the community. And
mm-hmm.
so this is really, they're putting their money where their mouth is, and supporting small businesses.
And what better way to help the community by supporting small businesses, which is where all the jobs come from, and we need a lot of new jobs at this time.
Yep.
Well, Mike, this has been very informative, and I want to thank you for coming over and talking to us this morning. For our listeners that want to have questions or comments or want more information on this program, they can go to todaysbusinessradio.com and click on the icon for the University of St. Thomas. And I'm Tom Lyons, and for my co-host Sam Zordich and our producer Jorgie Jorgensen, I'd like to thank Mike Ryan, the director of the Small Business Development Center at the University of St. Thomas, for being with us on todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.